Good stuff. He's coming back. You ready? If you ain't like me, you can be tonight. So I've got a simple message tonight that the Lord's put on my heart. It's been a while now, and some things have happened to where the Lord has really shown me. And I'm sorry, I'm already a mess. Thank you for them songs, Miss Juwan. That lined up to exactly what I was going to preach tonight, and I thank you for that. Thank you for obeying the Lord. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness. I was talking to Preacher Thad before I come in the door, and he called me, and I had been thinking on my way over here that I didn't want nobody to see me. I didn't want nobody to come here to hear me, and that the Lord would break me for his cause, and be careful what you pray for, because he'll do it. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful, like you said, David, that he hears us. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. It's going to be verse 10. And we'll get into the message. And the Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that, God, that you don't let them see me, but God, that they see you. God, just use me as a mouthpiece tonight. Father, help me to give them, God, what you've given me. God, I don't want to intervene in any type of way. Father, I just want them to see you, God, and them to hear directly from you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, God. And I love you tonight. And thank you for the song that was sang, God. The praises sang to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I was going through this, the Lord was kind of dealing with my heart for probably about 4 weeks on a message on this very scripture, and some things played out through the week on confirmation for it, and even the song that you sang tonight, Miss Juwan, was confirmation of it. But the thought that come to my mind as I read this, and the thought that's been on my mind for about 4 weeks now, is getting back to where we started. Getting back to where we started. Getting back to the place to where we started. And I'm not talking about just starting anything. I'm talking about our relationship with Christ. Where God broke us is where I'm talking about. Whether it was on the side of the road, Brother David, whether it was on the side of the road, whether it was at home, whether it was on these altars right here or altars at a different church, getting back to where we started with Jesus. Getting back to that point. You see here, there was a famine that was in this land, and this was the land that, and I'm not going to go into detail and give you no full-blown history about it. But Abram was in a land that God had told him to go to, and there was a famine in that land. A famine there. The famine was, there was a lack of rainfall. You see, in Canaan, the water was provided mainly by rainfall during that time. Mainly by rainfall. And I thought that was like, that's like perfect. Because the rain comes from God, and that's his land. He called Abram to go to that place. He said, go to this place and dwell there. But you see a famine come. Something bad come about. And what's the first thing that he does? He turns and he goes down to Egypt. And what Egypt is significant for the world, the worldly things. You don't never go up to the world. Every time you read about Egypt, you're going down. And I thought about it as I was, the Lord was dealing with me on this scripture, is that whenever God saved me, Brother Jackie, he didn't do this. He didn't reach up to me and pull me down to him. What he done was he reached down and he pulled me up to where he was. He pulled me out of the world and set my feet on a solid rock. So tonight, I'm just going to give you what he give me and the way that he give me. And I don't want to step in the way in no shape or form. But number one, what I want you to realize is getting back to where we started is we've got to get out of Egypt. We've got to get out of Egypt is what we've got to do. You see, in Genesis 13 and 1, the Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. He went up out of the Egypt. Luke 15, 17 through 20, you see very familiar scripture here. It says, and when he came to himself, you see, the prodigal son went off into the far country and got into the hog pen. And as he was down into Egypt, that hog pen was his Egypt. And he was down in Egypt doing the things of the world, doing all of the ungodliness, eating these things that he had no business eating. But you see, when you decide to get out of Egypt, come to yourself. You come to yourself. The Bible says that when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare that I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. You see, if it stopped there, it'd be okay. It'd be all well and good, Jackie. But you see, that's just talking about it. When you're in the world, some people, they just sit in the hog pen. They just sit down. And what they do is they just talk about, well, I wish we could get out of this. Well, if this was to happen, if that was to happen, then you know we might. But see, in verse 20, makes all the difference. You see, in verse 20, when the prodigal son had came to himself and he realized what he had done and realized where he needed to go, in verse 20, the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. You see, when you're in the world and things are going on, sometimes we get blinded by the things of the world and we can't see what's really going on. But once your eyes have been opened, once you've been eating on that husk or all those things of the world, and you continue to try to fill that void, and you continue to try to fill that spot that's empty inside of you, when you can't feel it no more and you come to yourself, you can talk about it or you can do something about it. And he arose and came to his father. This message tonight, this is for the Christian. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you. I don't know what you've been through this week, what the rest of the week holds for us. I don't know. I don't know where we're at in our Christian walk, whether we're still in infancy stage or whether we're growing, you know, whether we're in to where we're full of Christ. But I want you to know this, that we have got to turn from the world. We've got to turn from the world. We've got to in every aspect of our life. You see, the Bible didn't call us. I'm getting ahead of myself. I better slow down. Not only did he tell us, not only do we need to get out of Egypt, but number two, we got to separate ourselves. We got to separate ourselves. If you go and if you look at Genesis 13 and verses 14 through 15, you'll see what happens with separation. When separation occurs, the Bible says in verse 14, it says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give to thee and to thy seed forever. You see, Abram had to get away from Lot. He had to separate himself. If you go back and you read it, and I think it's verse 12 in the beginning, you'll see to where God didn't give the land. He said, get away from your kindred. Get away from everybody else. Get out of your country, he said, and go here. He didn't say bring everybody else with you. He said, this is for you. And friend, when you start to separate yourself from the things of the world and from the things that we don't need in our life, God will bless. He said, what I want you to do is, Abram, since you separated yourself, I want you to look northward. I want you to look eastward. I want you to look westward. And I want you to look southward. He said, everything that your eyes behold, that I'm going to give unto you. You see, we have to separate ourselves. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You see, I didn't say that. David didn't say that. Skip didn't say it. It says, saith the Lord. You see, and what we're called to be is we're not called to be like everybody else. When somebody looks at Brother Jackie, they ought to see that, hey, there's something different about him, and I want it. You see, that's why the Bible talks about us being the light of the world instead of the darkness. He talks about us being different from everything that's around us, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, everything that we do. When we became a new Christian, behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. We're supposed to be the light anywhere we're at, whether we're at work. Amen. Whether we're at work, whether we're at the ball field, yep, whether we're cheering people on, doing whatever the case is. We're supposed to be separate from among them. We're supposed to be separate. We're not supposed to be like them. When God reached down, when I told you he reached down into Egypt and pulled me out of my own Egypt, and each of us had our own Egypt that we were in once upon a time. But sometimes, let me tell you something, sometimes it's very easy to go back to Egypt. If you see in verse 10 that we read through the scripture, it said there was a famine in the land. And Abraham had went down into it. You see, deception had occurred. Because he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He moved all the time. And he would move to wherever his sheep, his flock, his cattle, everything could get the water from. I told you earlier that the only way, water supply through Canaan was from rainfall. That's how they got the majority of their water supply. Through Egypt, you know what there was? A river. There was the Jordan. See, he had got the seed. He said, well, things are going bad today. Things are going bad. This famine's occurred. It's took out my flock. Things are dying everywhere. My crops, my animals, all of these things are dying. And as people are going by him, he's saying, well, where are you going? We're going to Egypt. Everybody's going to Egypt because the Jordan's there. The river's there to provide water not only to the crops, but to the animals as well. You see, sometimes that's how the devil does. He makes the world, he makes Egypt look so, so good. Sometimes he makes Egypt look so good. Well, man, they sure are having a good time. You hear about people that even saved people, they can get around. They can go be doing whatever, and they can get around those people that may look like they're having a good time. They may look like that partying's good, therefore it can just barely drag you. And before you know it, you'll be back in Egypt. Before we know it, we'll be back in Egypt if we're not careful, if we don't separate ourselves from amongst them. Not only do we need to get out of Egypt and separate ourselves, but lastly, we need to get back to what worked. We need to get back to what worked. Genesis 13, 3 and 4. The Bible says, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. Which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You see, he got back to what worked. He got back to where it all started. He built that altar. He had went into Egypt. And when he had come back, Jackie, he went back to the same spot. See, I could take you to the exact same spot. To where he...
Come on, Trevor.
Yeah. That's right.
Come on. I could take you back to that spot to where he reached way. I'm telling you, he had to reach way down for me. And they pulled me up.
Amen.
He said, son. He said, son, I'm going to take you from somebody that used to drink all the time. He said, I'm going to take you to somebody that used to have a filthy mouth, was worthless. He said, and I'm going to make you a preacher one day. He said, and you're going to do what I told you to do, not what you want. You see, Christian, we need to get back to what worked. I just got a couple of things on getting back to what worked. Friend, probably the biggest thing that we need in a time like now, in a world like now, because let me tell you, the world will beat you up and it will tear you down and it'll leave you laying on the ground and walk away from you. But friend, we need to get back to a strong prayer life. We need to get back to seeking God. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. They'll be added unto you. But you've got to seek him. We've got to be in constant prayer with the Father. Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Friend, I want to encourage you tonight, get back to a strong prayer life. It is. It's much needed in a time like this. Because Brother Mike, Tim needs to see you, y'all, praying together. Tim needs to see y'all in a strong prayer life. Instead of going to everything else about it, we need to get back to praying and get back to a strong prayer life. Because that's our communication with the Father. It's through prayer. Not only that, but we need to get back to the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and 17. You all know this. You've heard this several times at the end of it. It talks about the armor. It says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, of the Spirit. Then it gives you what that sword of spirit is, which is the Word of God. You see, the only offensive weapon that you see in those things is the sword of the Spirit. You see all of these other things that protect you, but the only thing that you have, friend, is that right there. That's what we need to be fighting with. That's what we need to be fighting with. Not only... not only into a prayer life and back into the Word of God. But friend, can I tell you, we need to get back into fellowship with Him along with fellow believers. We need to completely stay in constant fellowship with Christ. I cannot urge that enough. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who have reconciled us, thank God, to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Friend, can I tell you, fellowship with Christ is the most important thing that we'll ever have in this life. Your relationship with Christ will be the most important thing. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and we were talking about the Bible and all of these other things, and we got on the subject of relationships, and we told him, me and another fellow said, man, the only thing that matters in this world today is your relationship with Christ. And that's the only thing. I think if we could really grasp that, I think we'd be changed each and every day. But not only in fellowship with Christ, but fellowship with other believers. That's important. That's important. We're in this world, like I said earlier, this world is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. This is a tough place. But when you've got people, when you've got people that you can lean on, or people that you know is going to be there, that no matter what, no matter how bad it gets, stand up, that you'll be able to do this, you'll be able to go back to back. And no matter what comes in front of you or behind you, David's got my back and I've got his. And that's how it needs to be. Thank you, brother. That's how we need to be. And with that fellowship with fellow believers, you know, this church is blessed with several different groups. You got the ladies groups. You got the men's groups. You got the senior saints. You've got all of these different things. You got Sunday school. You got any church event. Friend, can I tell you, get plugged in. Get plugged into Sunday school. Sunday school is literally where you eat. Sunday school for me is where I eat. Sunday school for me is where I learn more than anything. And I'm so thankful for it. And it's that way in every one of them. Saturday. Was a great testament to fellow believers getting together and doing something for the Lord. And I'm thankful to come to a church to where it doesn't matter about the individual, but to see, you see, if we take a rope and you untwine a rope, it's got little old teeny pieces of rope. And you see, you can grab them little pieces of rope once you get that thing untwined. and you can take it and you can just, you can break it. You can grab another one, you can just break it. You might can put two together. But can I tell you? When you take a lot of them and you twine them things together,
wow.
You can't. Amen. You can't break it. You can't break it. That's why it's so important to get involved, to get into Sunday school, to get into these groups. Yeah. There's time taken. But it's worth it. It's totally worth it. And I thank the Lord that I go to a church and go have the opportunity to worship.
Amen.
At this church where people love each other and will come together. I mean, Saturday, I guess it's been such a long time since I've seen it. And even Brother Kevin, he might be watching, but he come up to me, he said, "Man," he said, "there's so many people here." I said, "Yeah, you ain't never been here?" He said, "Nah, man." He said, "I ain't never worked this thing." I got to thinking. I said, "Man, he's never seen the church come together. I mean, the Easter play and all of that, but to see that come together is amazing." So I don't know who's doing the song of invitation. If y'all want to play something softly.